Aaron Schwartz, the extraordinary computer programmer and internet freedom activist, was found dead in his Manhattan apartment on Friday, an apparent suicide. He was 26 years old. Schwartz was being prosecuted by the U.S. Justice Department, charged with 13 felony counts of computer hacking and wire fraud, and facing the possibility of decades in prison and crippling fines. His alleged crime, accessing MIT's computer network without proper authorization, and downloading millions of scholarly papers that were in fact freely available in the MIT Computer Archive. His prosecution and his suicide have brought a profound sense of grief in the computer activist community and highlighted what many say are serious flaws in the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, the law he was charged with violating. Parker Higgins is an activist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which had collaborated with Schwartz. He says there are several reasons why Schwartz was such an important figure.
First, he developed technologies that are still in use every day on the internet. He co-authored a protocol called RSS, which is used by almost every website online, and he did that when he was 14, and he spent the next 12 years of his life doing things of similar caliber, just really profoundly important technical things, but also working as an activist and fighting for freedom of information, which was a cause he believed in deeply. And he impacted a lot of people that way.
Now, it was in pursuit of his activism for knowledge, basically, that he ran afoul of federal prosecutors when he downloaded all these scholarly papers from the MIT website. He was being prosecuted under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Is there a specific provision that he was accused of violating in this? They eventually brought 13 counts against him.
It was the second time that he had had an encounter with the law. Earlier, he had done a similar thing where he had downloaded many articles from what's called the PACER system, which contains court cases. And in this case, yes, it was scholarly articles that were available for free access through the MIT network, but that weren't intended to be downloaded at the rate that he was doing. So by downloading these too quickly or too many, he was charged with those 13 counts of unauthorized access to a computer system.
And the penalties were severe. Was this the intent of the law?
It's hard to say with these laws, but it's certainly out of proportion with any similar law that doesn't involve a computer. So you can imagine that even if we take the allegations at face value that he did all the things that he's accused of, it sounds similar to trespassing, maybe, doing something that's out of line with the expectations of the owner of the server, but really not in a way that causes any damage. And so that he might have been facing 35 or even up to 50 years in prison for that, even when the company from whom he had downloaded the files, they said that they experienced no harm and didn't want to press charges. It's an injustice, and it certainly had caused a lot of pressure for him.
The specific part of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act that he was charged with violating was unauthorized use. Federal prosecutors have used this before as a sort of charge of convenience because they could interpret it as being a violation of the terms of use of a website, something that may be 40 pages of fine print that nobody reads.
Yes, there are a number of major problems. It's just out of line with the reality of the way that people use computers, and it applies a much different standard to the transgressions that happen on a computer as opposed to in the rest of the world. And so there are vague clauses like the ones you're describing, and the penalties are completely out of line. We won't see the case play out. As a standard, they dropped the charges today, citing his death, but it just doesn't seem to anyone who reads the case that this is the way that justice is meant to be applied.
Is this a case of prosecutors going after so-called hackers with a vengeance, perhaps more because they're an annoyance than they're actually a criminal?
It seems like the prosecutors were trying to, quote, make an example of Aaron, and it's just completely inconsistent with any sense of justice that they would ruin someone's life, and they would threaten him with decades of prison time and not let up, even when the supposed victim here has asked them to, in order to make an example. That's not how justice is meant to be served.
Is there any move underway to amend or change the CFAA to make it more specific, to make it really in line or proportionate to what may be considered an infraction or a crime?
Yes, we at EFF have already made a call and will continue to call for reform to the CFAA. I haven't heard yet of any legislators picking that up and going with it, but there's already been, in the past, even before this tragedy, people had been acknowledging that these penalties and these vague conditions are improper use of law. So I think we will see some movement on that.
Parker Schwartz is an activist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation.